This is Guildcast, episode 41 for August 12th, 2006. Welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean. In this episode, we'll be discussing the meaning and importance of item modifiers and upgrades. This is a fairly detailed and lengthy topic, but I figured that this is one of those issues with the game that beginners might be completely lost on. I know it took me quite a while to learn just what each upgrade does and how to even get them off of an item in the first place. First off, though, some people who asked to be mentioned this week are Shalilia Beastmaster and Knight Fire, who will be celebrating their 16th birthday on Monday. As for game updates, they had a small one on Friday, August 11th, that fixed a bug that caused sound to drop out on some sound cards. Plus, they're beginning a Double Your Fun Weekend event this weekend. This is, the fifth weekend in a row now that we've had some sort of event. So what this is basically is you'll find yourself twice as likely to nab a rare drop from any chest in Kanta. And to help you get into those chests, you'll also notice an increase in the drop rate for keys too. The fun starts at noon Pacific Daylight Time on Friday and ends at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time on Sunday. And then on Saturday, August 12th, they had another update where they added 25 new guild emblems. They increased the duration of the loot assignment timer. When a monster drops an item, it is now assigned to a player for 10 minutes. I believe before it was 5 minutes. And then finally, they fixed a bug that caused players to respawn immediately in Alliance battles, Fort Aspenwood, and Jade Quarry. Guild Wars gets great coverage in the August-September 2006 issue of Massive Online Gamer. You'll find the ritualist adorning the cover, while inside you can read an article about factions, a PvP primer, and two guild profiles. And don't forget to take advantage of the free Guild Wars Factions trial code included. You can try out factions yourself or share the code with a friend. And if you haven't heard yet, ArenaNet is running their very first Sealed Play tournament at Gen Con in Indianapolis, Indiana this weekend. Sealed Play is a new type of tournament that they'll be running at live events for Guild Wars fans, both old and new. As explained in the Universal Tournament rules, each team of four players ends up with 64 random skill cards. For each of these skills, and Resurrection Sig and or Charm Animal, each team must choose what skills each character is using and create them to compete in 4v4 matches to the death. At the first qualifier round held, 7 teams showed up and competed to try and advance to the finals, which will be held on Saturday, and a chance at winning part of the $5,000 prize pool. Of these 7 teams, 5 were made up of single players and fans who just showed up to compete. In the end, team The Good Old Days won the first qualifier by winning 5 matches straight, with 2 other teams close behind. These 4 guys, Morgan, Spencer, Wick, and Darren, get to compete in the semifinals being held on Saturday. You can check out some more information on this and some great photos from the event on the GuildWars.com main page. And as you may know already, Guildcast is now a listed Guild Wars fan site, right? But last week, we actually made it into the community news section also. So I'll read that little excerpt that they had posted on the site. It says, "For those of you with aching eyes from so many hours of playing Guild Wars, why not relax, close your eyes, and listen to the latest podcast at Guildcast? The new episode reflects on the Nightfall preview event and more." Weapon upgrades, also sometimes referred to as mods, are magically enhanced weapon parts that improve the characteristics of the weapon that they are applied to. Weapon upgrades can be salvaged from a weapon and applied to another weapon, as opposed to weapon modifiers, which cannot be salvaged. Using the proper terminology relating to this is something I need to get used to, since I call all upgrades mods. So bear with me if I accidentally call an upgrade a mod, because that's just what I've always done. And I think it's usually what most people do anyway. But I'll try to be careful to sort out the terminology correctly. Be aware that weapons that do not have any upgrades on them are called clean, while those with the maximum value for each of their upgrades is called perfect. A weapon can contain a maximum of two upgrades, one prefix and one suffix, but it's also possible for weapons to have built-in modifiers, and they are also able to accept other mods as well. A good example of this is the Icy Dragon Sword, which has a +15% damage when your health is over 50%, and that modifier is already built in. That's a max mod right there, but it's built into the sword already. And not only that, since it's called an Icy Dragon Sword, that means that it has the Icy modifier applied to it also. So basically, it's like it has two mods applied already once you get it. But it can also accept a sword pommel to further modify it. This, combined with the already installed modifiers, basically lets this weapon have three mods in all. This is also true of most collector's weapons as well. But I'm getting ahead of myself here, so let me backtrack a little bit. A weapon has an upgrade on it if it has a prefix or suffix added to the weapon's name. For instance, if a fiery hilt were applied to a longsword, it would then be called a fiery longsword. If a pommel of defense were then applied, it would then be called a fiery longsword of defense. Weapon upgrades may be salvaged from weapons that contain them by using either an expert salvage kit or a superior salvage kit. Salvage attempts are not always successful, though. Sometimes the upgrade is destroyed and you receive only crafting materials in return. So be sure to keep that in mind when looking to salvage a mod from a weapon. If a weapon has two upgrades, a prefix and a suffix, the salvage attempt will only be able to recover one of them, determined randomly. Regardless of whether a salvage attempt works or not, the weapon will be destroyed in the process. Prefixed and/or suffixed weapons obtained from quests, collectors, or the PvP character creation process cannot be salvaged to get their upgrades. As for how to actually use a weapon mod, you simply double-click on the upgrade, and then click on a compatible weapon to equip it on that weapon. You could not add a staff upgrade component to a hammer, for example. It has to match up with that particular weapon. A weapon can only have one prefix and one suffix upgrade. Applying an upgrade to a weapon that already has an upgrade will replace the old upgrade, and you'll receive a warning before the old upgrade is destroyed. Only the following weapons can be upgraded: swords with either a sword hilt prefix or a sword pommel suffix, axes with an axe haft prefix and an axe grip suffix, hammers with a hammer haft prefix and a hammer grip suffix, bows with a bow string prefix and a bow grip suffix, staves with a staff head prefix and a staff wrapping suffix, daggers with a dagger tang prefix and a dagger handle suffix, scythes with a scythe snathe prefix and a scythe grip suffix, spears with a spearhead prefix and a spear grip suffix. Wands, focus items, and shields cannot be upgraded. They may come with a weapon modifier already in it, though, but these cannot be salvaged from these items. There are also two modifiers to items that only describe their usage to merchants and nothing at all relating to their effectiveness in combat. These are precious, which means it's worth more to the merchant, and highly salvageable, which means that you can get more crafting materials out of it when you use an expert or superior salvage kit to salvage it. Now, don't confuse precious with rare, though, because they're not the same thing at all. And these aren't actually considered mods in the conventional sense, so keep that in mind. But I thought I'd just mention them since they do appear on items after you ID them. Now, let's start with the prefix upgrades. I'll go over the ones currently available, and I'll name what they are or aren't available for, and I'll list what they do exactly. Also note that the staff uses a whole different set of upgrades, so I'll mention those afterwards. Okay, first there's the barbed upgrade, which lengthens the bleeding duration on foes by 33%. This is available for all weapons but the hammer haft. The barbed bowstring wasn't previously available until factions came out. Crippling lengthens crippled duration on foes by 33%, and it's available for all but the hammer haft. This also wasn't available on the bowstring until the faction's release. Cruel lengthens deep wound duration on foes by 33%, and is available to everything but the bowstring. Poisonous lengthens poison duration on foes by 33%, and it's available to everything but the hammer haft. Silencing is a new upgrade that's just introduced with factions, and what it does is it lengthens dazed duration on foes by 33%. It's available to only the bowstring, dagger tang, and spearhead. Heavy lengthens weakness duration on foes by 33%, and it's available on everything but the sword, bow, and dagger. Ebon converts physical damage to earth damage, and it's available to everything but the spearhead. Fiery converts physical damage to fire damage, and is available to everything but the scythe snathe. Icy converts physical damage to cold damage, and it's on everything but the spearhead. Shocking converts physical damage to lightning damage, and it's available to everything but the scythe snathe. Furious gives you double adrenaline on hit, with a chance anywhere from 2 to 10%. This is available to everything but the bowstring. Sundering gives you armor penetration plus 20% with a 10 to 20% chance, which was recently increased with the faction's release. And that sundering mod is available on anything. Vampiric has the benefit of life stealing. For swords, axes, daggers, and spears, you can steal from 1 to 3 life per hit. And you can steal 1 to 5 life per hit for hammers, bows, and scythes. They all have a health regeneration of negative 1. And this upgrade is available on everything. And finally, we have Zealous, which gives energy gain on hit of 1. But it has an energy regeneration of negative 1. This is also available for everything. Now, I want to point out that when I mentioned the parts that are available for the spear or the scythe, that these aren't 100% confirmed yet. This is just what people have seen from the PvP weekend, last weekend. Now, for the staff, there are only 3 upgrades available for the staff head, and they are defensive, which gives you a plus 4 to 5 to armor, hail, which gives you from plus 10 to 30 health, and insightful, which gives you from 1 to 5 energy. And now on to the suffixes. These are applicable to all weapons, including staves. Of defense gives you armor plus 4 to 5. Of shelter gives armor plus 4 to 7 versus physical attacks. Of warding gives armor plus 4 to 7 versus elemental attacks. Of enchanting lets enchantments last from 10 to 20% longer. Of fortitude gives from 20 to 30 health. And if there's one that says of and then an attribute, such as of healing, then that will give you plus 1 to that attribute with a 10 to 20% chance while using skills. And if you see something that says of and then a certain species slaying, for example, of troll slaying, then this does damage plus 10 to 20% versus that certain species. Of the ones that are known for sure now, there are 11 different species that this relates to. They are char, undead, which is called of Deathbane, dwarves, giants, ogres, plants, skeletons, tengu, trolls, demons, and dragons. You may also see at times an item with a negative energy or negative health mod on it. The most famous of these being the Grim Cesta you get from the Cities of Ascalon quest in Ascalon City. These negative items do have their purpose, believe it or not, and it's usually to hide away your health or energy from your opponent for a particular situation where that might be helpful. I'll talk a little bit more about the negative energy mod in a minute. You may also see weapons with a strange combination of mods or upgrades, such as maybe a bone staff with inspiration magic requirement that gives you plus 1 to smiting prayers with plus 5 energy and negative 5 energy. You might be thinking, what is this good for? These types of items are becoming more rare lately, though, as ArenaNet has fixed a lot of these. But a while back, they were plentiful, and you'd think that they were just a joke at times when you saw them. All of these upgrades that I've discussed are available to add onto any other weapon except greens. Green items are considered unique and cannot be modified in any way. Some greens also have mods and upgrades on them that are not available to any other weapon. Although I've had a show on green items before, and it was quite a while ago actually, but next week I will be having a Greens Revisited show where I'll talk more about the newer greens and factions and how the whole concept of green items has changed a bit since factions release.
Hey y'all, this is Lady Sinea bringing you the word on the street. I was only online a couple of days last week, and even so, I got a good number of whispers and some really great feedback about the monk episode. I'm glad because it was a lot of fun to do, and I was talking to Loudon, and we were saying that there was so much that we didn't go into. For instance, we didn't hardly even brush the subject of protection at all. So we'd like to do another show in the future, and if you have any questions you want answered, or you want us to go into more detail about the monk, or about anything, just let us know, and you can email either Sean or me, and we shall try to accommodate. This week, there is what ArenaNet is calling a Double Your Fun weekend, and there was a discrepancy in the information of when it started. I signed on last night on Friday, I think around 9 or so, and my guildies were saying, "Hey, this event hasn't been very good, I haven't seen any changes in my drops." And I said, "It hasn't started yet, right?" And they said, "No, it was supposed to have started at noon." So I checked it out, and on the login screen, it says 11:59 p.m., which means midnight. But my guildies had been looking at some website, I think guildwarsguru.com, and that website said noon. So I wasn't surprised that it was the website that had the wrong information. But it seems like the events all start and end at midnight Pacific time, so if you see something else that seems odd like that, I would double-check your information. We're talking about weapon mods this week, and weapon mods are upgrades that you can add to your equipment so that you can make for yourself whatever you think is the perfect weapon for your character. Weapon mods can be salvaged, and you have to use an expert salvage kit. They can be salvaged off of swords, axes, hammers, bows, staves, and daggers, and then probably also from scythes and spears and whatever other weapons get introduced in the future. You can't salvage mods from wands or shields or some of the other offhands, so you're just stuck with whatever you find when it comes to those. In the name of the weapon, you'll see either a prefix, such as icy shortbow, or a suffix, like shortbow of defense, or you'll see both of them in the title. One thing that's nice about mods is that if you get a weapon that you don't like the stats of, or if you get something with crazy stats like air staff of water magic, you can try to salvage the upgrade off of it and then put it onto a weapon that you like better. However, if it has two mods, meaning both the prefix and the suffix, you don't know which one you're going to end up with if you try to salvage. So there's a bit of in-game gambling for you. Roll the dice and see if you end up with the nice expensive mod, the junk one, or just a pile of crafting materials. And if you're looking to sell upgrades, usually the most pricey ones, it seems, are Sundering, Fortitude, and I think Furious is kind of up there too. Then after that, probably Vampiric and Zealous. Roughly, I mean. There are things like a max pommel of swordsmanship that can be worth something, but I don't really see a lot of people wanting to buy that. Also, people usually only want to buy max upgrades, and the price difference between a max and a near max mod is usually a pretty big jump. So that's a way to save money if you want. Buy the 29 hit point mod, or even the 28, instead of the max 30, and then it won't cost nearly as much. But it's not true that people only buy the max ones, because I just sold a 2019 Sundering Axe Haft to a guy, and I didn't even advertise it. He was the one who was putting up on the screen the advert of wanting to buy a 2019, and I happened to have one, so that worked out well. But I'd say max, or that very nearly max upgrade, is the only thing that really is worth your time selling. Anything else that's below that is just junk, and you might as well just get rid of it. And of course, if you'd like a price check on your weapon, you can email Mr. Monkington at guildcastpricechecker@googlemail.com. His offer to evaluate your item still stands. Just make sure that you send him a screenshot of the item's description, and then that should have all the information he needs to check it out and tell you how much your item's worth. So, cheers! This has been Lady Sinea bringing you the word on the streets.
Well, Prince Alara here, bringing you yet another PvP segment. We're talking about different weapon modifications. And when you're doing a build in PvP, you have to think what weapon mods you're using and what the others are using. And these can change your strategies a lot. I know I talked to a few people. I'm sorry if I kind of forget your name. I think it was Kogan, but I can't remember who was thinking of making a build. And I kind of even lost it. I kind of even forgot myself. And I was thinking of using a recurve bow instead of the horn bow, which he had up for the build. And he even made the mention that the horn bow has a modification that is 10 plus armor penetration, or 10% armor penetration. Sorry, my fault. And it's kind of weird in that sense where weapon mods can affect the entire layout of the build. Where if you're going to focus on conditions, you need one person maybe with a deep wound lengthen, one person with poison lengthen, one person with a cripple lengthen, and that way you get the most out of each condition if you're going condition heavy. Or even if you are, say, doing a spike, you need to watch out for which weapon you pick, especially in elementalist spikes, because if you pick a staff that maybe has a half casting time, and you're doing an elementalist spike, and you go ahead and try to aim for the spike, and you get that half cast retime, you'll give away the spike to the other people in the opposing group. So in that respect, the fast casting would actually be really bad. But let's say you're doing a Mesmer E Deny, you'll want the casting time to be as low as possible. So you'll want that mod. And you also want to put some into your fast casting, of course, but I don't think I really need to go into that. Now, another thing with the different mods is that you really need to communicate. Again, I'm probably going to sound like a broken record eventually, but you need to communicate with your group which mod you're taking and what your build's going to be, at least the basic setup and what you aim to do. As long as you tell them what you're aiming to do, I think personally that's pretty much standard. You tell them, well, I'm a ranger and I'm going to be using poison arrow as my elite, or I'm going to be using apply poison with a different elite, or what have you, and you're going to want to communicate that to them so they know what to bring, so you're not maybe doubling up a poison, or maybe another warrior can bring a skill that bleeds so that you have two conditions instead of just one, or maybe the Mesmer might bring something like, I believe it's Epidemic, so that you're poison has an effect on not just one person, but many people. Of course, that goes into PvP, where team communication and setting up everything is crucial. And another thing I wanted to go into is time. A lot of people want to go into Hero's Ascent and just rush in. And I've been victim to this many times. And it kind of made me stop playing PvP for a while, and I kind of got away for a little bit, but I'm back into it now with Alliance Battles or whatever. But people want to rush in, and especially in Alliance Battles and Hero's Ascent, they just want to get the group together and just go in. But those groups, if any of you have done that before, any of you know a lot about Hero's Ascent, those groups, 9 times out of 10, fail in their first group of human-controlled players. And it's pretty sad sometimes. Like, I've been in groups where, like, it's me and another monk, and the other monk is completely healing, and I'm completely healing, and nobody's protecting anybody. It just, it's kind of sad to see how fast people go down. And I know it's hard to do, but take a little time. Just, like, I remember the only times I've even come close, and the only couple of times I've won Heroes Ascent, it took us at least half an hour to, the time we won, it took us like 2 hours to make sure everybody had everything. So, in PvP, I guess what I'm pretty much saying is, when you get in there, it's fast paced, but before you get in there, make sure to take your time and make sure to think about it. And that's my little tip to you. Think about your builds. And think about what you gotta do. And what your team is doing. And communicate. And have fun. But know that the other people in your team may not be on the same page as you. And make sure you try to get everybody on the same page. So, Solero here, signing off for your PvP segment.
So how does one make a skills and build segment concerning the topic of weapon upgrades anyway? Well, it's easy, and I'll tell you in a second. This skills and build segment will center around an elite skill that I've recently been using a lot in my PvP Mesmer build, and that skill is Energy Surge. Target foe loses 3 to 7 energy. For each point of energy lost, that foe and foes in the area take 10 damage. This elite domination magic spell has an energy cost of 10, an activation time of 2 seconds, and a recharge time of 20 seconds. This is a fairly easy skill to get, as you can cap it in your choice of 6 different locations. In Tyria, you can get it from the Darknesses in the ruins of the Tomb of the Primeval Kings, also from Balassi the Arcane in the Iron Mines of Maladun, Mersat Mesmer in Ice Flow, Melek the Virtuous in Ring of Fire, and Mercia the Smug in Abaddon's Mouth. In Kantha, you can cap it from Malfon Mind Flayer in the Arborstone Mission and Morning Veil Falls. Now, Energy Surge is a powerful elite on its own, but when you combine it with Energy Burn and you use it on a single target with maximum effect, you can quickly deal out 160 damage and burn 16 energy from that target, as well as dealing 80 damage to the foes around them. This elite skill seems to be most effective at the very start of battle while mobs are still tightly packed and their energy still high. The area effect of the spell is wide, but it may be insufficient for dealing damage to all foes once a battle is underway. You can use Arcane Echo to unleash a second burst, but as mentioned before, try to do it before the mob breaks up. And, like Energy Burn, you don't use Energy Surge against a foe whose energy has already been drained. You choose a different target to distribute the attack from. Remember that it relies on the energy pool of the target foe to deal damage. And with this in mind, when you think of the foe with the highest amount of energy that this might work best on, that would have to be the Elementalist. So, now that I've mentioned Energy Burn also, and how well it works in conjunction with Energy Surge, let me go ahead and tell you a little bit more about that one. With Energy Burn, target foe loses 3 to 7 energy and takes 10 damage for each point of energy lost. Now, this is basically just like Energy Surge, except it doesn't cause damage to the adjacent foes also. This domination magic spell costs 10 energy, has a 2-second activation time, and a 20-second recharge time. You can get it from the quest A Cure for Relena in Sardalak Sanitarium. You can buy it from Captain Osric in Yak's Bend or Dak in Emberlight Camp. In factions, you can buy it from Zhao Di in Xingjie Monastery, Mikiko in Canine Center, or Zeitke in House Zuhelzer. These two skills teamed together are the main components in the E-Surge Mesmer build that you can use in most high-end PvP situations, such as Heroes Ascent. Okay, so here's where I tie in the show topic with this segment. You know earlier when I mentioned the benefits of using a negative energy weapon or offhand? Well, here's one of them. If you have some energy tucked away like that, you won't get as much damage dealt to you by something like Energy Surge or Energy Burn. Then, after it's been cast on you, you can switch weapons, preferably to something with positive energy, and you have that instant energy back. Okay, so let's say you're in PvP, you have 16 energy left, when someone with maxed domination casts Energy Surge on you, and then they cast Energy Burn on you. They could potentially, with this setup, do 160 damage to you, right? But if you had a negative 5 energy offhand and a negative 5 wand, you'd only be showing that you have 6 energy, and you'd only take 60 damage instead of 160. Then, after you get hit with that, you switch from the negative 5 energy offhand to plus 15 energy offhand, and then from the negative 5 energy wand to a plus 15 energy wand. So you just gained 40 energy, and you avoided that extra 100 damage. Now, this is a pretty specialized situation, and you might have to listen to that two or three times before you understand what I actually said, but if you time it well, this can work like a charm in most situations in PvP. And we come to the end of yet another Guildcast. Last week, Lady Sinea made the remark, "Wow, episode 40 already?" And when she said that, it kind of sunk into me, too. That's a lot considering 80% of podcasts out there don't make it past episode 10. Also, did you know that 73% of all statistics are made up right on the spot? Fascinating stuff. Anyway, I'm already planning what I'll do for episode 50, though, and hopefully that'll be fun for everyone. And you know, lately I've been forgetting what I've already talked about on previous shows, and then I'll go back and I'll skim through the episode to see if maybe there was a skills and build segment that had already been done, that I've already talked about. So it gets to be pretty time consuming. So then I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if I had something set up like a Guildcast wiki, or something where people could contribute their own notes to each show describing what that show was about exactly, down to the topic, the news, the skills and builds, the word on the street, even the theme song. It could potentially be a very detailed collection of every show, I think. I usually get several people asking me if there's any way that they can contribute to Guildcast, and here it is. I think this would be perfect. If you know how the wikis work, like Wikipedia, Guild Wiki, things like that, it's basically where you get a topic and everyone can contribute to it, and it organizes it well, and it makes it so that you can get a lot of information, and it's kind of like the old thing, you know, two heads are better than one. Well, this is like a couple thousand heads are better than one. And if someone knows how to set these up, I can host it. I could put it on guildcast.com, maybe wiki.guildcast.com, something like that. But if no one wants to set this up, and no one sets one up for a while, I might just look into how to set up one myself. I think it could be pretty fun, and it would certainly help out when people ask me what show I discussed a certain skill on, or a certain topic, or even a song. So I haven't had a contest in a while, especially a get-together contest. So this next weekend, on Saturday, August 19th, at 9 p.m. Eastern, I'll be having a trivia contest. It'll be held in the Ice Tooth Caves, International District 1. I'll be asking trivia questions for every campaign, including any confirmed news that there may be on Chapter 3 so far. Hint, hint. So, I hope to see you all there. And until next time, be sure to tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.